The classically trained British actor Michael York has had a dazzling film, stage, and television career, from Shakespeare to Austin Powers, from Logan's Run to The Simpsons. He's appeared in 100 films, including an iconic role that shocked moviegoers in 1973 when he played the bisexual scholar Brian Roberts opposite Liza Minnelli in Bob Fosse's Cabaret.
Well, do you sleep with girls or don't you?
Sally, you don't ask questions like that.
I do.
All right. If you insist, I do not sleep with girls. No. Let me be absolutely accurate. I've gone through the motions of sleeping with girls exactly 3 times. All of them disastrous. The word for my sex life now is nil. Or, as you Americans would say, plenty of nothing.
Hardly nothing. Michael York is still busy with about a zillion projects, but he slowed down to join us from our NPR West studios. Michael York, I am simply delighted to be speaking with you.
Hello, Jackie. I'm delighted to be with you, too.
You're born in Fulmer, Buckinghamshire, in England, and that was, I believe, back in the early 40s. And as a teen, you performed with a youth theater in England, and then you were a student at Oxford. I mean, that's an impeccable education. I'm wondering how it has informed your long career.
Well, it was. I mean, performing with the youth theatre when it was just being started by this remarkable man, Michael Croft, in a very small way. It was just based in London with boys. Now it's a huge national, you know, royally patronised organisation. Helen Mirren, you know, Daniel Craig, all ex-youth theatre and so on. And it was a strong influence on my life. And at Oxford, too, which is a sort of unofficial drama school. In fact, half of my contemporaries were half of the Monty Pythons, Michael Palin and Eric Idle.
Your film debut came after a stint with the National Theatre in 1967. You went to Italy to make Franco Zeffirelli's film version of the Shakespeare play Taming of the Shrew. I would love it if you would take me back to that time. You're a young actor. You're going to audition for your first serious film role. And the stars of the film are none other than Richard Burton and Elizabeth Taylor. That just had to be a formidable moment.
Well, indeed it was. And I shall be eternally grateful to them, both the Burtons, for because they were producers on the film, that they gave my casting the thumbs up. And there I was in Rome as a sort of movie actor. But you know, I'd never seen a film made, and I was in the first shot of the day, so, which had its advantage. You know, I wasn't hanging around getting nervous, waiting to go on. I was suddenly on, shoved into this costume, shoved up on a horse, and action. We were off.
Here let us breathe, and happily institute a course of learning and ingenious studies. And therefore, Tranio, for the time, I'll study virtue. And that part of philosophy will I apply which treats of happiness, by virtue specially to be achieved.
It was a glorious experience to make. It's a, you know, it's a very colourful film. It was Shakespeare, and very, very exciting. And working with the Burtons, in a way, they were the gods. People forget, you know, forget Brangelina. They bestrode the world like these twin colossi, these, you know, superstars. They had these dressing rooms with dazzling white carpets, and there were butlers and maids, and it was all very unreal.
Did either of them take notice of you? Did they give you any advice? Did you exchange a few words?
Yes, we did. I mean, they were very kind. The nicest thing they did was, you know, just that sense of approval. You know, and certainly with Burton, who'd been at Oxford, and it was a wonderful way to begin. What can I say?
As an actor during your career, were you thinking about what we might call legacy, or were you simply having fun? I'm wondering if there was a personal path you were exploring.
You know, the great thing about movies, you can leave them behind, and they either, you know, continue to find favor, or they, you know, fall by the wayside. You can't hope to do, you know, significant work every time around.
And speaking of not everything being serious, along comes Mike Myers' series, turns out it is a series, Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery. You play the Q character, Basil Exposition.
Dr. Evil has escaped. The good news is that one of our agents has managed to infiltrate Dr. Evil's organization.
Excellent, Basil. We've been trying for years to get a mole inside Dr. Evil's lair, and we now have that mole.
Did you enjoy playing Basil Exposition in the Austin Powers movies?
Do you know, I did. Who knew that this would turn into what it did? All you have to go on is instinct. But I thought there was something there. And, you know, I got this censure. How can you, who, an actor who plays Shakespeare, you know, indulge in this campy send-up? And I said, oh, Shakespeare would have adored it. He had a filthier mind than Austin Powers. So I keep hearing rumors about a fourth one. So we shall see.
No doubt Shakespeare would have considered it very shagadelic. You've embraced every medium of the actor, it would seem, except mime, and I'm not sure if mime counts as acting.
No, I'm saving that up, actually. Well, I think it's part of the British tradition. This is what you're trained to do. You don't specialize. It's all, you know, you're encouraged to indulge in every media. So you do your radio plays and you go off and do your film and your stage and so on. And it's all part of the life of being an actor. The great thing about this job is that there's no cut-off point. You don't get to a certain point and they say, all right, thank you very much, that's enough, you can, here's your gold watch, go and retire. As long as you have your wits and your health, you can keep on doing it. And, you know, yes, the doors close on the jeune premier parts, but then they open up on the older guys, the grandfathers and the fathers, which is, the sort of situation I'm in now. So there's always something to look forward to, which is very exciting.
Yeah. You know, Michael York, I did have, I will confess, the very great pleasure of meeting you and your wife recently. And I have to say my observation, I have two observations. One, that you have an inexhaustible appetite for life and performance. And the other is that you are a true gentleman at a time when that seems a bit of a lost art in our modern culture. And I thought, is it because he's so thoroughly British?
Jackie, I'm lost for words. You're too generous. Remember, I'm an actor. I could be faking it. But it's sweet of you to say so. But, you know, one was raised, I keep forgetting how old I am. One was raised in a certain generation, which is, you know, not the generation we have now. But change is good. I embrace it and welcome it.
Michael York, thank you.
I've enjoyed it very much.
Actor Michael York. And here's what he's up to. Stand back. In Chicago next month with Andre Watts at the Ravinia Festival. Out in a new film with Rutger Hauer and Charlotte Rampling. It's called The Mill and the Cross. In December, a TV appearance with, get ready for it, the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. This is Weekend Edition from NPR News. I'm Jackie Lydon. Thank you.